Coming up on The Balanced Word, knowing that you'll live forever will enrich your life in a wonderful way.
You hear people make the statement, life is precious, and then we go, and life is short, and therefore, we better hurry. We need to be obsessed. We need to grab all the gusto we possibly can, because you only go around once in life, and this is it, and you don't know where it's going to end, so we have to cram everything into life. See, Jesus wanted them to understand, yes, life is precious, but life is also incredibly long. Life, in fact, goes from today forever, if you believe in me.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hand, and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshiped and exalted here today.
If we were to look back at our lives, we could see peaks and valleys all over the place. Who could forget those good times, like our wedding day or graduation? Then there are the unforgettable valleys, the death of a loved one, economic hardship. We all experience hard times, but as Christians, there is someone we can turn to for comfort and help. We're about to take a look at the death and resurrection of Lazarus and learn how to live and view life as God would have us. Pastor Dave Rolfe will also point out what belief and trust in God looks like. So turn, if you would, to John chapter 11 as we bring you The Balanced Word.
Pastor Chuck used to say, when you come across things you don't understand, always hang on to what you do understand. You know that God loves you. You know that He is good. You know that He can do anything. So hang on to that when things happen that you're like, I don't get this. I don't know why. His plan is always greater. If you lost your job, but you knew that there was this great job that you were about to get, it's a different perspective. If you were like praying, God, please help me not to lose my job, and you stay in a dying company and where you're constantly worried about losing your job, that's not the best outcome. So thank God that He doesn't do everything we ask Him to. For all of us, there are times in our lives when we prayed for something that now we look back and go, man, am I glad He didn't answer that the way I wanted Him to. He had a better plan. I mean, there are people who have a relationship and it falls apart, and they're like, oh, please, please, I need this person so bad. Down the road, God's plan can turn out to be way better than that. But we don't know what He's going to do. So in this story, He was showing them, you know what? If you believe that I'm loving, and if you know that I'm powerful, understand this. I know more than you do, and what I do will ultimately be, God causes all things, in Romans 8, to work together for good to those who love Him. So we see this information that at least helps us, and it's certainly something that He wanted to teach them as He was on His way to the cross, ultimately. And who would argue, now we call the day Jesus died Good Friday. It was really good that He died, or we could never be forgiven. But, you know, for them at that time, they certainly wouldn't, boy, what a good day this is. No, you need the perspective of time to see, wow, this is actually good when I didn't know that it would be. You also see in this story that Martha, for a fact, and certainly some of the others and his disciples, understood theologically Jesus' identity. She was like, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You have come into the world. I believe the incarnation. I believe in your deity. I believe that you are fulfilling all of the prophecies of the Old Testament. So theologically, she knew who He was. But what she questioned was ultimately what His ability was. And that needed to be stretched. She felt strongly, you can heal a sick person. And that's what I want you to do. But at the same time, did she really believe that He could raise a dead person in this way after 4 days? Which He waited 4 days partly because people, you know, superstitiously in those days believed that your spirit hung around for 3 days after you were dead, and then finally on the fourth day it left. It's why Jesus was dead for 3 days as well, to prove that you were really dead. But she understood that, yeah, you're the Messiah. But really, even though when He was talking to Martha at first, she said, you know, I don't know, man, maybe God could still do something. Maybe if you pray, God will still do something, but you really should have come earlier. That would have been more important. But then we find out when they go to the grave and he says, remove the stone. There was something lacking in Martha's faith, because instead of feeling like he's going to do it, he's going to bring him back from the dead, her limitation, her misunderstanding of the power of Jesus was that this isn't going to happen. Yeah, I mean, I talked about it, but I was kind of messing around. I didn't realize that he could actually bring Lazarus back from the dead. So she had the theology, but she really didn't have the confidence, the belief in the ability for him to do what theologically she might say technically he could do. In a lot of ways, it's the way we are when it's like we need something that's really drastic, and we're like, I know God can do this, but I don't think he will. I don't think it's going to happen. That was kind of where she was, and a lot of times that we can be in that same spot. She also was right about the future. She said, I know that he's going to rise again someday. I know I'll see him again. I understand that off in the distance, pie in the sky, by and by, you know, in the final day, I know we're going to see him again. And she was right about that. The Bible taught that. They knew that. There's a resurrection. This isn't final. But even though she understood the future, she was misunderstanding the present. Because Jesus was going, I'm just not somebody who will be the resurrection. I am the resurrection. And I'm the life. Who I am has something to do with how you live now. It's not just about what I will do someday. I think a lot of times people get the idea that believing in Jesus is like, okay, accept him now so that later you can go to heaven. Jesus never made that statement at all. His emphasis was, accept me now because I'm the life right now. I have, yes, the future is there and you are safe and you're secure. You will never die, but at the same time, I need you to understand, this is not just about death, it's also about life. It's about life before death, not just life after death. And that's the connection that you need to make, because you are living as if once somebody dies physically, that it's kind of over. Then, you know, another thing they were all right about, they were really bummed because life is precious. And they're right about that. Life is precious. But what they were wrong about is that thinking life is short. You hear people make the statement, life is precious, and then we go, and life is short, and therefore, we better hurry. We need to be obsessed. We need to grab all the gusto we possibly can, because you only go around once in life, and this is it, and you don't know where it's going to end, so we have to cram everything into life. See, Jesus wanted them to understand, yes, life is precious, but life is also incredibly long. Life, in fact, goes from today forever, if you believe in me. And so he's delivering them from this hurried mentality. It's one of the reasons why, that when they called him, sounded like an emergency. It was to them, because to them, if Lazarus dies, it's all over. But, and for his disciples, if Jesus goes to Jerusalem, he's going to die, we're going to die too, that's it, jig is up. But more so than that, Jesus wanted them to realize is, the life that you have now is a life that will continue. If you trust me, you will never die. What a radical statement to make. Whoever believes in me, even if you die, you're still going to live, because whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Yes, life is precious. Yes, it's valuable. Yes, it should be appreciated. But at the same time, life is also long and rich and an endless blessing forever if you know me. I think that people today are really obsessed with how short life is. And so we become locked into the clock is driving us, the calendar is driving us. We have to get everything that we can out of life because you never know when it's going to end. As a result, we miss out on a lot of life. We have people who just devote their lives to something that's all about just survival. We have people who spend, you know, tons of money trying to extend their physical life for a little bit more. We have people who live in debt because it's like, if I'm ever going to get this stuff, I better get it now, even if it means I'm going to owe money. There was a study recently that came out where they said the average American, when they die, you know how much money they have when they die? They're in debt $62,000 on average. So that's my goal. No. But what that shows is I feel like I'm pinched. It's the same reason why a lot of the best-selling books and apps and everything else are about how can I cram as much stuff into my time that I have? And how can I keep myself alive as long as possible? But what does that do? It creates a society that lives with constant fear, that's just always thinking, I could die at any moment, so I want to grab everything I can right now. When you look at Jesus, he understood that he was going to die as a young man in his early 30s, but you never saw him hurry at all. If we really trusted him, we wouldn't hurry. We wouldn't spiral our debt. We wouldn't trade off material things for beauty and for relationships and things like that. That's a short-termer mentality. I gotta cram it in. I wanna do this. I have my bucket list. No, how would you live if you knew that you were never going to die? That's kind of what Jesus is getting at. How would you live your life that way? You'd be like, yeah, life is precious. If somebody told you, you have a week to live, you wouldn't just be like, usually, oh, okay. You'd be like, oh, there's stuff I have to do. You'd be on your phone calling people, doing all the things that you wish you had done that you hadn't done. You'd be pushing and shoving and striving. But he has told us, Jesus has told us, don't worry, you're going to live forever. If you knew you were going to live forever, you wouldn't put yourself into debt. You wouldn't force yourself to obsess on controlling everyone's behavior. You wouldn't probably spend a moment, you know, pushing politics. People who are pushing politics, in from whatever perspective, are people with short-termers disease. It's like, oh, we've got to fix this. You don't panic if you know what? I'm going to live forever. I'm not going to die. So therefore, I'm going to enjoy life. I think it's so sad when people live their lives always motivated by fear. You know, you've seen the damage that happens to children who grow up with parents who are obsessively controlling them, who are trying to protect them from every possible bad thing that could ever happen to them. It just makes neurotic kids, makes kids who are paranoid about everything because they pick up the paranoia of their parents. How would you have raised your kids, if you've had kids or if you have now, how would you raise them if you knew that they would never die? It would change the way that you do that. I'm not saying not to take normal precautions, but I'm talking about an unhealthy obsession. I always kind of laugh when people will say, you know, they'll know that I ride a motorcycle and they're like, oh yeah, I'd love to ride a motorcycle, but it's too dangerous. I could never do that. And I always say, you know what? I'm more afraid of living life not riding a motorcycle because I'm afraid than I am riding a motorcycle knowing I could be splattered at some point, because I'm living forever. If I do die, I have life insurance. It would be fine, but probably my family would be way better off, but maybe not, but it's close. But here's the thing. What does it feel like to live a life that's free? Ann and I spent a couple days this week and just headed out to the desert because I knew that there were a lot of wildflowers, and with all the rain we've had, the desert is unbelievable. So we went to Anza Borrego for a day and just walked out there, and there's flowers, all these different colored flowers. And at one point, we just sat down and I said, let's just look at the details just right here. And it's amazing, the beauty that's there. Then we went over to Joshua Tree and spent another day and hiked up Ryan's Peak and, you know, just saw this beauty. And it's so, the desert is just so alive. And it was like 73 with a little breeze blowing. It was amazing. And I think most people don't have the time to do something like this. And yet, it's so invigorating. It's so life-giving. Tests have shown that going and regularly spending time in nature actually works better than antidepressants. And it's like, but why don't we do that? Oh, I don't have time. I can't do it. Knowing that you will live forever will enrich your life today in an awesome way. Being afraid all the time sucks the life out of you. We have to, and Jesus just wanted them to understand, yes, heaven is real, but life is now, and I'm with you now. I'm not just saying, I'm leaving and someday I'll meet up with you. He's like, no, it's today. Take the time to play. Take the time to see beauty. Most of the times when we obsess on things, it's because we're trying to make up for the fact that I just can't cram into my life everything that I want to do. I'll never finish my bucket list, so I'm going to rush through it as hard as possible. Jesus never wore a watch, never was in a hurry, never was rushing, because he knew, I am life. I not only give life, I am life. And they'll kill me, but I will still be life. There won't be anything they can do. And when people believe me, he says, they won't ever die. They can live with a freedom and a comfort that they could never have otherwise. Now, Jesus is going through all these lessons, I think, for a couple of reasons. First of all, he is, in a matter of a couple weeks, going to die. And he knows that. And so this is him trying to prepare them for that. Because he knows, man, if you guys fall apart when Lazarus dies, what are you going to do when I die? When now there's nobody for you to call? When now you're on your own? How are you going to handle that if you can't handle something as simple as death of somebody who's gone to be with the Lord? But a second thing that he really, and it's related to this, but he, throughout this passage, he talks about believe, 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 believe. Remember, John 20:31 says, I wrote these things that you would know who Jesus is, that he's the Messiah, the Son of the living God, like Martha did, but that believing you would have life in his name. The word believe means to trust. The idea isn't that their opinion wasn't that this was true. When we talk about believing, it's like, yeah, I believe it more and I don't. I believe it because I know that's what we believe. I mean, often people will come to me and say, Dave, what do we believe about such and such? I'm like, I don't know. I know what I believe about it. If you don't know what you believe and I just tell you what you should believe, that doesn't make you believe it. But Jesus was, through this whole thing, was like, here's how you can learn to trust me. Now, if you look, starting earlier in the chapter, in verse 13, when Lazarus died, he said, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why? So that you may learn to trust, so that you may believe. Verse 25, he says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he may die, he still lives. And verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me, trusts me, shall never die. Do you believe this? She said in verse 27, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. And then later down in verse 40, Jesus said to her, didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's when she said, oh, it's going to stink. And he goes, you didn't hear what I said about belief. Trust me. Roll the stone away. Then in verse 42, he says, in his prayer, he said, I want them to trust, to believe that you sent me. In verse 45, many of the Jews who saw this happen believed in Jesus. In verse 48, the Pharisees who were planning to kill Jesus said, if we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. That's what they're afraid of. If he keeps doing stuff like this, everybody's going to trust him. Everyone's going to believe in him. We can't have that happen because that's going to challenge our position. Later in chapter 12, it says that Lazarus is like telling everybody, probably telling them, yeah, here's what heaven's like. And here's how it felt when I actually heard his voice and I'm like, okay. And I got up and so it says they wanted to kill Lazarus because everyone was believing when they heard his story from him personally. So it's like, so you're going to kill him. Is he supposed to be afraid of that? How do you threaten a guy like Lazarus? Okay, that's it. We're going to kill you. He's like, cool. I like it there. It's great. But you can't threaten somebody who's already been dead. There's nothing more that can be done. And Jesus is telling them the only way that you will understand this life, and it'll also help you for the life to come, is if you truly trust me. There's no doubt about it. We need that desperately. In fact, every time somebody that we love dies, we're in their position. We're like, no, this is a tragedy. Now, again, I'm not saying, well, we shouldn't weep, but we certainly shouldn't mourn the way that our gut tells us to mourn, the way that that sinful, imperfect, doubting part of us mourns. We should be celebrating. Sometimes memorial services are called the celebration of life. And every once in a while, I've been to one that was actually a celebration of life. But a lot of times, we just feel empty, and we're missing someone, and we don't care. The extent to which we cannot rejoice for somebody that we love who's gone into the presence of God, the extent to which we can't do that is the extent to which we really don't trust that what he's saying is real and true. We should feel like, wow, I'm jealous. I'm sad for me because I'm still here. I'm going to miss this person, but I'm not going to be like them with a party of people, oh, this is horrible, for day after day after day. That's a sign that you really don't trust. But he wasn't really trying to get them to handle death as much as he was trying to get them to learn to live life. What would our lives be like if we truly, truly believed and trusted in him? What would our priorities be? How hard would we push? How stressed would we be? How much would we live a life that we know is killing us? Without a doubt, the number one thing that kills people is stress in one way or another. All of that is artificially or sinfully induced. We need to realize, I trust him. So you know what? If it's daytime, I get up and do stuff. If it's night, I'll rest. If it's time to work, I'll work. If it's time not to work, I'll go home. Because I realize he's got this. He has my life in his hands, and I want life to be as much like heaven as I can possibly make it, because he is the resurrection and the life. And if I believe in him, I will live forever.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. As we go through the Gospel of John together, there may come a time when you'd like to hear a message again. You can do so rather easily at thebalancedword.com or call and request a CD copy at 949-362-7475. By the way, we're making this complete series in John available to you on a thumb drive for a donation of $10 or more. Go through this powerful gospel from start to finish with Pastor Dave. Again, call 949-362-7475, and we can help you with that. Please remember, it's your support that allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to the radio every day. Thank you for standing with us. Again, we can be reached at 949-362-7475. Or you can make a donation and resource request online at thebalancedword.com. We'd like to invite you to visit us at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Pastor Dave Rolfe teaches most weekends, and you can hear him teach the Word Sunday morning at 8, 9:45 and 11:30. He always enjoys meeting his listeners, so please say hi after the service. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Let's return to Pastor Dave for the rest of his message.
He certainly was preparing them for his death, but he was teaching them about how to live and what belief and trust actually looks like practically. Today, if you suffer a great loss and you're just feeling like, I'm just happy for my loved one, people will tell you, oh, that's not healthy. You need to mourn. You need to weep. Jesus would say, there's something in you that gets this. There's a piece of belief in there that's actually helping you. Again, you don't have to fake that. This is in the depths of your soul, that the more you trust who he is and what he says, the more peace that he can give you, and the more you can actually enjoy your life, the more you can just savor all that he does in your life right now, instead of feeling like, if things don't go my way, oh, I don't think I can make it. I don't think I can survive. You see, whenever you talk to people who just think, I want to die, and you listen to why they want to die, it's like, you're kidding. You have a whole life ahead of you. There's so much beauty out there, so much blessing, so much opportunity. Would you just trust him that he's going to take care of whatever these little things are that are upsetting you? Or do you want to, because you don't get it your way, you're like, that's it. hey, you're not God. You don't know how he should best address the pain that you have in your life. So why not trust? Why not just go, I know he's loving, I know he's powerful. He does all sorts of things. Some things he waits. Sometimes he doesn't jump immediately. If he did exactly what I wanted him to do, he just wouldn't be God anymore. He would just be somebody that I hire to help me. Trust him.
Hear Jesus' last message next time on The Balanced Word when Pastor Dave Rolfe visits John chapter 12. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.